This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, the upcoming draft, and a pick that we really think would work out great if we could get him, just depending on how everything goes with the ping pong balls coming up. We're going to be talking about Jalen Suggs, and we're also going to be talking about a potential trade that includes a number of teams. Al Horford could end up who knows where this time. Dave's got some great ideas, so I'm looking forward to talking about that.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a fun episode. Jalen Suggs is one of my two favorite players in this draft. He definitely is one of those guys that I love to get to know more and more, as Mark and I were discussing beforehand. Mark told me some really cool information about what he played in high school, and we'll get to that stuff in a minute. But man, talk about a combo guard that is elite in this year's draft. In any other draft out in the last, I would say, 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, Jalen Suggs would be one or two. Unfortunately, in this draft, he's ranked three, but he could slip all the way to five if enough teams look at Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Green as being better athletes. It's all dependent on the ping pongs and who gets these picks. Obviously, you've got number one, Cade Cunningham, seems to be a lock right now, but two through five are all players that could just rotate on where they end up going and what team ends up drafting them. And that includes the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have no idea where this is going to land. We have no idea how it could land. But the reality is that Sam Presti is going to pick the best player that he feels is going to fit this team and the organization.
Yeah, and most importantly, pick the player that is going to be the best player in the long run, not just the best player at the time of the draft. And that's a big trap. We still haven't gone through our tape on Cade Cunningham yet. We're going to be looking forward to that. But at this point, he is the consensus number one by all the experts. And, sometimes that person ends up being the best player in their draft, like LeBron James. That happens, and when it does, all the experts look really smart. But sometimes a player isn't actually the best player in their draft. They were just the best player at the time of the draft. And that's a different thing. And when we look at Jalen Suggs, there's a lot of things that we can look at and say he has. I mean, he's got all the tools. And but to me, one of the best things, I mean, probably the best thing about his game is his passing. And I love the way he uses misdirection, ball fakes, head fakes to manipulate defenses and create openings for his teammates. He is extremely disciplined player. He plays under control, but he has elite speed and quickness, and the difference between the two is important to understand, and he demonstrates that he has both of them, and he has them under control. Going back and watching some of his high school film, I found that he really was a superior athlete to what he showed in college, and understandably, because the college game is different. But I think a lot of the stuff I saw in high school will be a lot more like how he plays in the NBA. It's a lot looser and freer of a game. And I encourage you to check it out. And also, when I was watching that, I came across the fact that, I mean, this is probably well known to most people who pay attention to college sports, but I don't that well. But Jalen Suggs was a highly recruited football quarterback. He was the 15th ranked dual threat quarterback in his class. He was recruited by Georgia, Michigan State, amongst other Division I teams. He was one of the top players in the country. I think his overall recruiting rank for his class was in the 300s. So it's understandable why he pursued basketball, because he was a much higher rated player. But watching him play in college was somewhat like watching probably like Michael Vick play, I mean, in high school. I'm sure Michael Vick was a much better player, but the guy could really just do whatever he wanted and get to the places he wanted to. And I think that matters for like his game in the NBA, because I think it speaks to his durability and his physicality. And that's important. The guy likes to play really hard, and he likes to go after it. And I think he's going to find an opportunity to do that quite a bit in the NBA.
Yeah, man. He is one of those athletes that I get incredibly excited about. Now, just remember, he played for Mark Few in college at Gonzaga. This is going to be one of those guys. He's a very structured coach. And yet, Jalen Suggs is very respectful to him. He is one of those guys that was a team player all the way through college, in the 1 year he played at college. But if you look at his, the way that he played high school ball, like Mark said, and I'm glad he mentioned this because it's something that I had highlighted too, is that he played a big time run and gun game in high school. It was all about fast break and getting up the floor quickly. He played that similar to in Gonzaga, but it was much more of a structured offense that he was part of there. So to me, I looking at him and recognizing that this guy lives on the open floor. This is what makes him so exciting, is that he sees open space as being the biggest asset he possibly can have. I get really, really excited when I see him doing the things that he is doing in the excitement of being an athlete, a combo guard in the league and separating himself in the open floor. One of the things that I love about seeing him in the open floor is how well he finishes the ball. He is insanely strong at finishing. Like Mark said, playing college, you learn to play the ball on sports and especially basketball in a different way. He may be the best pick and roll combo guard in the draft this year. He is incredible at using the big man to his advantage and stepping away and draining that three or stepping back and making sure that he is consistently open for that drive. He shot 33.7% from three, so there is some improvement to be made there, but that is still something that should be definitely highlighted as being awesome because he has the potential of becoming a really good shooter. Dude is, I have this four times on my list about talking about how good he is in the open floor, because I think it's something that needs to be highlighted. This is something that's an old school technique. It's something that Mark and I grew up a lot about. It's the run and gun offense. He fits that perfectly. He fits that whole idea of getting the rebound and getting up and making it or taking a shot quickly, like we already do in this Thunder team. He is probably one of the best run and gun players I've seen in the last 10 to 20 drafts. That's saying something. We've seen a lot of great run and gun players, but his potential is probably way higher than any of these guys. I'm just blown away by the way his run and gun style really fits this Oklahoma City Thunder team. His ability to avoid the contact, the hard contact going to the hole, reminds me of SGA. He can get to that hole very strong. He can get the contact, but he avoids the very physical contact that injures a lot of the guards in the NBA. And that means that I feel like he can prolong his career a lot in the NBA. And the fact is that he's 20 years old and 6'4" with a 6'5" wingspan. He's got that body of a football player. Like, you know that he's been in the gym working out and working out with his offensive line. This is the type of guy that is ready for the NBA right now. One of two guys that I look in this draft that doesn't need time in the G League and probably could start on this team right away. He is phenomenal. I get excited about Suggs. I get excited about his intensity. I get excited about the fact that in 2 to 6 years, he could be better than Cade Cunningham. And when I say 2 to 6 years, I want to say that with all due respect to Cade, because we don't know how he's going to develop. But if I was a betting man and looking at Jalen Suggs and the way that he is developing right now, I would say this, is that you have to watch out for him as being one of those point guards that everybody's going to stop and say, yeah, Cade was in that draft, but Jalen Suggs, he got the rings. And that's why I feel like he's got the mentality to win it. Yes, he was not able to pull it off the win against Baylor in the championship game, but man, he did everything he could do to make it close. He outplayed Mitchell. It was just insane to see how he was able to get out there and play. But the reality is this team and this Oklahoma City Thunder team is designed to have a player like Jalen. And if he's sitting there at number four, there's no doubt in my mind that Sam Presti would pick him if we have that number four pick. There's 0% chance that Sam would pass on him. He's way too good. He's too exciting of a player. And I get totally excited about just the sheer opportunity of Jalen Suggs being on this Oklahoma City Thunder team.
Yeah, for sure, man. And He just turned 20 a couple days ago, about a week ago now. So that's one factor to keep in mind about his age. And let's see, what else? His defense is on point. He puts a lot of effort into playing defense, and I really like the way that he gets after it out there. He takes it like a personal challenge every single time. He's listed at 6'4" some places, other places 6'5", and I think it's pretty accurate. He's very athletic. He's got a really good mid-range game, and he's got great mechanics on his three-point shot. I watched his high school film, and he had more freedom to shoot in high school. He demonstrated a step back. He demonstrated a pull-up. Things he showed a little bit in college, but the thing is, he changed his mechanics a little bit going into college. And I think that kind of took away maybe his ability to shoot without thinking a little bit. I don't know. He shot very well, and I shouldn't overanalyze it. But my point is that I think when the game is looser and there's more space in the NBA, it will play well for him. He's not in any way rigid, although sometimes when you watch his college film, he looked like he had a tendency to be rigid. I think it was because he was trying to keep his coach happy and stay under control. In the NBA, they're going to really try to unleash him and let him have an unlimited ability to run up and down the court and not really. I mean, he's got like De'Aaron Fox type quickness at times. And obviously, we always mention Russ when we ever talk about elite quickness. I don't think, you know, that's really fair just because Russ played for the Thunder. So we'll go with De'Aaron Fox for sure. That's a spot.
But that's where I disagree with you, man. I have yet to see a player that plays like Russ in the draft since Russ came out. Yet Jalen Suggs, to me, exemplifies all those things that Russ does. The ability to pass, the ability to rebound, the ability to use the open floor, the ability to use the pick and roll, the ability to play defense in multiple angles. They're similar in size. He is a bigger body than Russ is coming out of college. But the reality is that Jalen Suggs is the closest thing I have seen to Russ coming out of college since Russ.
And I mean, that brings me to like the real big question I want to wrap this up with. But, you know, I feel like every time that there's a draft, everybody wants to draft the next LeBron James or something. But reality is, like, having a great point guard that can organize your team, if you're in the top of the lottery, that's what you need. That's the first step. I mean, I understand that it would be great if you could get LeBron, but the thing about LeBron was everybody knew that he was going to be great. So when all these GMs pick these guys that they think might be the next LeBron, but you know, you can tell that they have critical flaws in their game that will, you know, make it so they can't lead their team to championships or really even have the longevity that LeBron has in his career. It seems like that's just like the trap they all fall for. I saw a study one time that said basically that GMs, when they feel like they're in the hot seat and they're about to get fired, they begin to draft taller and taller players, hoping that those players will save them. And usually one of the last things they draft is a 7-footer. And like, not to say, you know, that's a, you know, dead end for everyone, but I think it speaks to kind of the situation here. Like with Jalen Suggs, I think there's a risk in taking a 6'4", 6'5" point guard when the players around him are all, you know, 6'10", you know, type ball handlers. It really kind of creates this situation where it's a huge risk to take that guy who has all the tools. But I mean, he seems to me to be taller than Chris Paul and more athletic than Chris Paul, but has the ability to be that type of clutch leader that everybody wants. So I'm not sure why they would take somebody who didn't get their team, you know, anywhere near that level.
And, you know, this is a question I'm throwing right back at you, man. And, I, you know, think about this as I ask you here is, out of all the players that we scouted in this draft so far, which player do you feel like exemplifies the champion the most? Meaning, what player in this draft so far do you feel like has the ability to win the championships and to be a major contributor during those championship runs?
Yeah, I mean, you got to love the way that Suggs organizes his team. I don't know. I don't know that it is Suggs. I think there's a lot to be said about a lot of these guys. Like, as you ask me that question, I immediately, you know, shift and do exactly what general managers do, but I look at like a player like Scotty Barnes out of the players that we have already evaluated. And I think that he, you know, if he develops that elite three-point shot where he's forcing teams to defend him on the three-point line, you know, he could be up there with like the Jason Tatums, and I mentioned it the other day, but like Kevin Durant's of this world. So even though I criticize general managers for falling into that trap, here I am overlooking Jalen Suggs because the upside of Scotty Barnes, and a lot of that has to do with his size. So maybe I'm, you know, making the same mistake I'm criticizing them of, but that's my opinion.
I mean, it's interesting that you said that, because to me here, the whole idea of having a player like Suggs, you know, help lead your team, that combo guard, that ability, like, you know, you said that he, you don't know if he has that ability to guard those big guards. This is what I have to say about that, is that when you're stocky and you're built like a football player, like he is, and obviously has ability to play football, you learn to play defense in a different way. Very few guys know how to play basketball or know how to play basketball with a football mindset, especially in the NBA. Jalen Suggs could bring that in, like that chip on the shoulder, that he could come in there and immediately make a massive defensive presence and a physical presence on these 6'8", 6'7", guards that he's going to be forced to play in the NBA. I feel like Jalen Suggs is going to be one of the two best players in the next 10 years in this draft class. To me, Jalen Suggs is a no-brainer at number two, but obviously I am not all the NBA experts and I am not drafting any of these players, so I have really no idea where he's going
to
fall.
Yeah, it is interesting that Mitchell and Suggs have, you know, they really probably have the best chance to be the elite type of guards that dominate this league on the perimeter, and this league is really changing to focus more on that type of game, but somehow they're not really being considered in that top three. And I think that says something about, you know, the experts, and I think there's a little bit of confusion about how to build teams. I think a lot of them are old school. A lot of them probably used to have jobs as scouts, and so they're still thinking old school. We got to be thinking about where the direction the league is heading, and this guard oriented play where the ball dominant guards are dominating the perimeter and dominating the game from the perimeter. That's where it's all about. If you don't dominate the 3-point line, then you're not going to win games or championships in this league. And that's a new phenomenon that hasn't been that way for a long time. For many years, it was, if you don't dominate the paint, then you won't win. And now that switch has caused like the players to their value to change, and a lot of the old school scouts haven't adjusted.
Man, you bring up a really, really good point here. And this is one of the reasons that I have a very strong concern about a lot of the players that are coming up that are ranked very highly right now, coming into the NBA, especially in the top 7 picks, top 8 picks. They have almost no 3-point range at all. That's cool with me. If they want to rank those players high like that, they feel like those players are going to be, you know, championship caliber players, that's cool with me. But the reality is that those guys are all going to focus on those players, whereas Sam Presti is going to focus on the future, where the NBA is going to be at in 3 to 4 years when this team is peaking. I don't know where it's going to be at. I assure you, though, Sam has a better idea. He has the stats and the numbers to break all that stuff down. And to me, looking at Jalen Suggs, is that he's that perfect prototypical guard that I feel like would do a better job lining up against, lining up with SGA and Dort than Cade would be with SGA and Dort. To me, this is something that you have to look at and you have to say. Now, I'm not saying that if I was Sam Presti, I wouldn't draft Cade, but if I was Sam Presti, I saw Jalen Suggs and had an opportunity to draft Jalen Suggs, knowing that Jalen would fit my team like a perfect fucking glove, then I would not turn around. I would not say anything. I would say Jalen Suggs is my guy. If a team wants to come up and pick Jalen at number one and give me more draft picks to slip down one pick, I will do that. But the reality is, to me, Jalen Suggs is that no-brainer for this Oklahoma City Thunder team.
Yeah, and in the end, I mean, Mitchell could be the better player. And if I was designing a team in the modern NBA, I think either Suggs or Mitchell would be a great pick in that number two or number one spot. I don't know exactly who I'd pick And I think Suggs is, because he's a couple years younger, that you have to give him the nod there. But in the end, whether or not Suggs is going to be able to translate his scoring into the NBA at the same level Mitchell is, that's a real big question. And then will Mitchell be able to lead his team at the level Suggs can? I don't know. I mean, this could be something that people are going to be debating for a very long time. And in the end, if we could find a way to end up with both players on our team by trading back, I mean, you got to think about doing something like that. I mean, of course, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be issues giving all these players playing time in the same position. But, like, I'm telling you, man, if you want to have an elite backcourt, you got to think about having both those guys on the team instead of picking one guy in front of them.
Man, you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely. Like, to me, like, if these two guys are available to the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, yes, they were bitter rivals on the basketball court in the last game of the season this last year in the championship game. But the reality is that these two guys could help this Oklahoma City Thunder team push us over the edge. Obviously, there would have to be a lot of crazy things that would happen in order for us to get these two guys. Something probably would have to happen with our pick jumping up to number two or number three. And then we would have to see that Houston pick go from number one to number eight or number seven. That obviously would be sitting there. But the reality is there's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity for that. And that's what's exciting about the way the NBA draft is done now, is that there's more opportunity that the Houston Rockets have to lose that first place draft opportunity. To me, it would be great if they did and they dropped down to number five, because I want to be greedy. I want to get as many top five draft picks this year, even top seven draft picks this year. I wouldn't be complaining at all. This is the year to have them, and this is an exciting opportunity to look at these players and get excited about the future of the NBA and the future of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And you know, you mentioned trade and different opportunities that this team has. And I want to let you talk before I go into the trade details, but is there anything you want to bring up about just possibilities going on?
Well, first of all, I think that we've pushed it on the limits on this episode. So what I want to say is, let's go ahead and build off a little bit of what you just said, and then we can wrap it up. As far as like potential trades to help us get into that top 10, if the Houston pick does not translate this year for us, or if it doesn't, we won't get it because it's just a pick swap. So those don't carry over. But if that doesn't happen, you know, what would what type of team would we be looking to make that trade with so that we could move up to maybe like the number six pick if ours does in fact end up at the number four? Could we end up with two in the top 10, and how could we do that? And I think a team that really is in an urgent need to improve, and a pick wouldn't necessarily be something that they felt like would help them get where they needed to be. They needed some veterans. They needed some experienced players. I think that's the type of situation we could help them out and make a transition. A lot of teams will want their pick, but some teams really believe that picks aren't going to reach, aren't going to be able to translate in the timeline that their star players need to develop. And so I think that's a thing to watch. I think looking at any team that their pick exceeds what their expectation is, they could be a potential target for us to get in there, mix up with a three-team, maybe a four-team trade, help them figure out how to get better, and us take the pick for them. There's a lot of potential for that, and that's the type of situation we're going to be looking out for. Obviously, we kind of went on and on about Jalen Suggs because, I mean, we really like this guy. We don't feel like he's getting enough attention. Obviously, as the tournament went on, the hype got louder and louder. But this wasn't just about him hitting a big shot or leading his team to the championship game. Really, this is about him having a body of work that says to me, like, he could be the type of player that Russell Wilson is for the NFL. He could be that for the NBA. And in the end, everybody starts looking at him as a prototype.
Yeah, man. I think there's a few of these players like that in this draft. We can't be greedy, obviously, but if you're looking at, there's a very small handful of teams that are in the lottery this year that are looking at a massive amount of influx on either cash or having the ability to add a player that's going to help them out. Simple as that. Al Horford's like one of those players, and we have tons of room for cash. So we have really the ability to snatch anybody's 8, 9, or 10 pick that is not happy with who is on the board, that lost all their players, and saying, you know what, we can take Al Horford, and then Thunder will take back X amount of money for us. And we can also take their number, 18 pick as well, move back in the draft, get a player. And that's the reality. That's the type of position that we would sit there and drool about. Obviously the Minnesota pick is a valuable pick that Golden State has. That is something to keep an eye out. I do think that Golden State is smart enough to keep that pick, knowing that this is going to be a really interesting way of going about. You have Andrew Wiggins, who's 26. It seems like they want to get out of that contract. I don't know. They might want to keep him because they might see the future with him and Wiseman and whoever this draft pick that is coming.
Yeah, I think that's unlikely considering how much their ownership paid just to get bounced out of the play-in game. We'll see, though. Maybe they want to get beat up a second time and pay the piper again. But we'll see what happens with that. I think it's really important to look at the types of deals that we can find, and not necessarily find a specific team, because you can't always tell who you're going to be able to find. But the truth is, there's a certain type of situation that we can find ourselves in, and a lot of that has to do with the way the ping pong balls fall. And that's going to be in 10 days now, I believe. 10 days. I think it's on June 22nd. We looked this up the other day, but sometimes I forget shit. So anyway, as that approaches, we're getting pumped up. Then we're going to really get down and dirty with it, because we'll actually have an idea of where we'll be drafting. So we're pumped up about that. And we really appreciate you guys taking the time to join us for this episode of The Last Storm. It's been a lot of fun, and we'll be back tomorrow with some more speculation and wild rants. We appreciate you joining us. And once again, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.